'tis the season for cities across Minnesota to approve their budgets for next year. The Duluth City Council did just that last night, fresh off a referendum last month, in which people in Duluth said yes to raising the sales tax to pay for street repairs. This $86 million budget does include more funding for street repairs, though it's not paid for by that sales tax. We'll explain that more in a moment. Duluth Mayor Emily Larson is with me here in the studio in St. Paul. Happy winter.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Tom.
And safe travels back to Duluth after this interview. Your questions for Duluth Mayor Emily Larson, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1. You went into this process with a deficit, but also you talked about the need to boost funding for those streets in Duluth. How did you navigate that?
Well, it's very challenging, of course. Like many cities, we have a structural budget deficit issue. We rely very heavily on local government aid. And as we continue to provide all the basic services our residents and tourists and commuters need, we really are locked into our revenue choices and how we pay for all of that. So we did. We made some very difficult cross-departmental cuts to our budget. Really, every single department experienced something that is, you know, uncomfortable and difficult to do. We did raise the property tax to cover an increase investment in streets. I think everyone around the state probably knows that Duluth has a streets and infrastructure issue. We actually chose to use some money in our reserve to invest in a solar garden, a community solar garden that will save $2 million over the course of that investment from our general fund. So it's a very complicated budget, a lot going on in it. I'm really proud of it. It was not easy to accomplish, but I am glad that it is now done.
And now it's done. You have a state budget forecast that just came out this morning that shows we're back into deficit land. And frankly, a lot of those questions remain unanswered based on what the tax bill in Congress will do. But as you just noted, Duluth and many other cities are reliant on local government aid, which is a state funding mechanism to get money to municipalities. Do you see? I mean, we've seen budget deficits in the past where legislative or LGA, local government aid, is easily the first thing to go. Are you thinking about that today?
You know, I'm not, only because there are a lot of factors I can't control. And what I've learned in my job is, you know, I do the best that I can with a really smart team to meet the needs of my city. I work well with legislators in communicating why Duluth is of value to the state, why an investment of local government aid helps level a playing field. And in our case, you know, we're a regional city. So we are 86,000 residents, but we are 35,000 daily commuters. We are 6.7 million tourists. So certainly we think we make a great story and a great case of the value of Duluth and why that LGA is a good, sound investment. But a lot of those things those aren't the rooms I'm always in when those discussions are being had.
Emily Larson with me, the mayor of Duluth. Your questions for Mayor Larson, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. Yesterday, actually, we had the incoming mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, on Thursday. I'll be speaking with the mayor-elect of St. Paul, Melvin Carter. You can find all those conversations on the podcast. And we were talking this morning, Mayor, that all three of you are runners. So I'm waiting for
I actually think they're runners. I run.
But I'm thinking of like the three cities doing like a 5K, the mayor's 5K.
I like
a series of runs.
I like it. I'm going to bring up the caboose in that race. And I'm super, super proud of that. I am a very consistent runner. I love it. I am an untrained runner. I didn't start till I was 21 or 22.
But you still stay with it even in the winter.
I went out this morning.
That's the key. Yeah. So when we talk about the street repairs especially, that's a big debate in Duluth. You've made it a big focus in Duluth this year. You had that referendum on the ballot last month that passed. Yet this budget that just passed actually does not use that sales tax money to pay for those more repairs. Explain that.
I can explain it. So in the past 10 years, the city of Duluth has had four different ways that we have paid for streets. Actually, in the past 12 or 15 years, that's been the case. It's been a combination of debt incurrence, bonding for that. It's been casino revenue sharing. It's been a street fee. And now we use our property tax to pay for it. But it's a very small amount because of the transitions off of bonding and off of revenue sharing. And so right now we have $2.8 million that we put into streets. $1.3 million of that is to pay for old bonding debt on streets that actually have to be redone now. So I've made it a really key priority to identify ongoing sustainable, regular, reliable streets funding. And in looking through our options, the dollars that we need to generate if we were to do it strictly through a property tax would be about a 35% property tax increase. And in the city of Duluth, you know, more than 50% of our residents earn $50,000 a year or less. So, you know, putting that squarely on the backs of our residents was not the right answer. So we looked at the sales tax, and we have seen the legislature authorize and give permission to municipalities and counties to have dedicated sales tax, in particular for transportation. And we chose that method, but we did it a little bit differently. Often people will go, cities will go to the legislature first and then have it ratified by people. We did it differently. We brought it to our residents first, had 22 public meetings talking about a dedicated 0.5% sales tax, fully aligned only for streets, put that to a referendum, was very clear with residents. I will take my marching orders. I do believe this is the best plan, but I'll take my marching orders from you. And it passed. Was 77% of the vote.
But so you can't actually raise it yet.
I can't yet. Nope. So now we go to the legislature and we ask for their ratification and permission to follow the will of the electorate that has made an informed and very decisive choice.
But in the interim, which I think is at least 1 year, you've decided to still raise the money.
That's right. To do what we can.
Even though that means you would have to cut in other departments.
That's right. That's right. Because I think what's really important is, you know, Duluth is not unique in having challenges of infrastructure. And the reality is they are pressing needs. And it is, I do believe, a role of government to provide those basics. So it's important for people to see that doing that comes at a cost to other things. And the idea of just continuing to kick that can down the road really is not in the best interest of a community. And it doesn't honor people's investments that they're making in their homes or their businesses or the other things that need to happen to have a growing, sustaining community.
My colleague Kirsty Marone recently did a story about the water and sewer pipes infrastructure in this state. They're all at the end of their lives across Minnesota, not enough money to meet the needs, especially for small cities. You're not a small city, but you've been talking about roads, and I'm just wondering if there's a second crisis bubbling under your feet in Duluth.
You know, we've already addressed that, which I'm really proud of. It's actually been a really big year. My husband said to me, turns out you're kind of an infrastructure mayor, and that, that wasn't necessarily what I went out for, but our Public Utilities Commission and the Duluth City Council confirmed a plan, a long-term plan, to pay for water infrastructure, and it's a six-year plan that does increase rates incrementally to address water and to address that whole infrastructure system that we have. So I'm really proud because now as a community and as a city, some of the most pressing issues that we're seeing around the state are ones that we have developed our own solutions for. And that's not easy to do. It takes political courage on the part of people who have to make those decisions. But it also takes a community who understands that, you know, we're willing to do that because that's a sound investment and because we trust that those dollars are going to be fully dedicated and implemented only for those strategies.
So at a moment, though, of cost cutting, with the exception of the increased funding for streets, why then do you spend nearly $1 million to invest in a community solar garden through Minnesota Power when that's new spending while other departments are seeing cuts?
Because they come from different revenue streams. Currently, we pay for all of our electricity through our general fund. And for those you know, listeners out there who are municipal budget junkies, you'll know that the general fund pays for, you know, nearly everything.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Right. So we, you know, electricity, we pump a lot of water uphill. We consume a lot of electricity as a city to deliver the services that we do. We pay for that out of a very strained and constrained general fund. We took that $895,000 from our reserve, and it's a reserve that has been building up over time. We have a very strong bond rating, a very strong credit rating, so it does not hamper that or limit that. But that simple investment actually translates over to savings in the general fund. So it will save that $2 million from the other very strained, very constrained fund. So it's a little bit of investment that has that crossover. And we've also found that we got, you know, we locked into a wonderful rate. That was really important for us to be able to do. And I think we have helped kind of democratize and make more affordable renewable energy investments on the part of the community.
So those savings are going to come no matter what, those rates are locked in?
That's right.
Because the debate on Capitol Hill in Washington about the tax bill actually takes away some of the subsidies and tax credits we've seen for companies that are in the solar business and for utilities.
Yep. And we have this wonderful arrangement and contract that is actually in such the best interest of the residents of Duluth. I'm really proud of it. Really happy for our community.
Let's take a call from Kevin, who's in Duluth. Hi, Kevin. Your question for Mayor Larson.
Good morning. It's more of a comment, couple, three of them, as I spent time listening. The first thing is I'm a transplant here, so I'm not from this area, although I've lived here about 5 years. There's two Duluths. There's the east side of Duluth, and there's the west side of Duluth. Now, Duluth as a whole has a tough infrastructure, but the segregation in the city is I've never seen anything like it, and I'm a pretty traveled person. The east side of Duluth is in much better repair. It has far, far superior schools than the west side of Duluth. The infrastructure is even worse out there. The schools are poor. Now, when I speak about segregation, now which side of Duluth do you think the majority of persons of color are living on? It's the west side, and that's a fact. I find the segregation in this city between the east side near the lake mm-hmm. and the west side, old industrial area, disgusting.
Kevin?
It is so blatantly disgusting. And I find that really depressing, actually,
yeah.
because we all pay taxes.
Right. Kevin, thanks so much for the call there. That is a topic you've talked about a lot, mm-hmm. including in your State of the City speech.
It is.
You've been mayor, is it 1 year or 2 years?
2 years.
It's been 2 years now.
Yeah.
We talked about this right after you got elected, the east and west side divide.
That's right.
Have you made any progress?
Yeah, we have. And actually, the caller makes a couple of really interesting points. And of course, historically, we have neighborhoods in history of redlining and other policies that
right.
we communities kind of inherit as you move forward. Duluth was built as a city of neighborhoods and villages, and that's very, very strong. And it does relate somewhat to industry and somewhat to income level. Tom, you and I have talked about the West and East Divide, and we have spent enormous time and dollars investing. Actually, I mean, some might say over-investing in West Duluth neighborhoods to ensure that we are making equitable and fair investments across the city. So actually, I would take just a little bit, I wouldn't even say issue with some of the infrastructure investments that the caller, Kevin, referenced, because there's a lot of ways in which we can show that we are making investments of our business dollars, of our streets dollars, of our water dollars. But I think what he speaks to, which is really interesting, is that perception
mm-hmm.
is everything.
Yeah.
And perception gets to be the truth. So it is one of the reasons why if there's a public meeting, if there's a gathering, if there's a picnic, if there's anything, our team, our city team knows we are there. Like, we are at every meeting, every chance we can get, because the city has to continue to show up and actually, you know, kind of overrepresent so that people, we can build those trusting relationships to change that perception.
There have been times in the history of this state when local policies that Minneapolis and St. Paul did on their own were then done in Duluth as well. And I'm going towards paid sick leave, mm-hmm. a requirement that companies who are in a city offer that. There's also a debate about minimum wage. Minneapolis did raise the minimum wage within its city limits. Are those two topics that Duluth is going to tackle?
You know, we do have a current debate going on about earned sick and safe time, and that is one that has led, you know, started here and has moved up there. There is no current forecast that I'm seeing for minimum wage. I don't see that as being an issue that's going to become active in Duluth, at least from my vantage and what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Duluth City Council did convene a task force that met for over a year. They brought forward some recommendations recommendations as it relates to paid time off. Those recommendations are now being, you know, re-reviewed. There have literally been hundreds of surveys, hundreds of hours of public meetings around that topic. I do believe that the city of Duluth will have some kind of policy that moves forward. I do not think it will be similar to St. Paul. I do not think it will be similar to Minneapolis. I think it will have its kind of Duluth stamp on that. And I think that will happen in the next handful of months. That's not something that's imminent. I believe we'll see something coming forward from the Duluth City Council sometime in the spring.
Two more questions. One, the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
The Lake Superior Zoo.
You've asked me about that.
I have. And since that time, State Senator Eric Simonson has taken over as the executive director of the zoo and in October laid off a third of the staff.
Yeah.
The problems persist. It's a city-owned zoo. There's this authority that runs the zoo. It's the Lake Superior Zoo. There have been moments when the future of the zoo is very much in doubt. Mm-hmm. Is it in doubt? What is happening there that you think ensures whether it will continue to be a zoo or do you close shop and do something else there?
You know, this is an ongoing discussion. Of course, the zoo is a historical, old, beautiful, beautiful site, treasure in West Duluth, and it's very valued by the neighbors. I'm very pleased Senator Simonson does now serve as the director of the zoo, and I actually think he is the right person to make those very difficult decisions you have to make and really reprogram, reshape, rebrand, and come out stronger. So we do have dollars dedicated and allocated to the Lake Superior Zoo. It is slated as part of our St. Louis River Corridor set of investments. I do believe they will be coming forward with a bonding request.
For the state.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think I have great hope for the zoo. It's been a very challenging project to watch because it is a treasure. It is valued. It is very expensive. Animals are not an easy business.
Yeah.
I actually feel real hopeful about that right now.
Final question. You were in Ely recently. A lot of debate about mining. The governor recently said he supports PolyMet. There was some legislation in the U.S. House last week to boost the chances of two projects, both PolyMet and Twin Metals. The PolyMet project is in the St. Louis River watershed, so that runoff comes right by your neck of the woods. Do you support these projects?
You know, I support the process that's underway to review them. And I'm asked these questions really, really often. And what I find is that most people want you to say a very clear yes, no. This is how we're going to move forward. And these are incredibly nuanced. So the research would literally fill the volumes of room. I've been very supportive of the public process that's underway. I just saw something that came out from the EPA, maybe some guidelines that are coming out about a change in financial assurance that would need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
At the federal level.
But there are still state assurances
in
the law.
Correct. But ensuring that we have those state assurances, because that, to me, is a critical part of the checks and balances. So I did just spend time on the Iron Range with our Northern St. Louis County Commissioners. I heard a lot about mining. I also heard a lot just about the need to help, you know, recharge industries, keep people in their communities, keep that connection to Duluth as a regional center. So the mining issue is never a hardcore yes or no for me. It has to be done well. It has to be done smart. It has to be done with public assurances. It needs to be done in a very public way with a very long and thoughtful process. And I've been really supportive of where that's at this time.
You went to Ely with Tom Rukavina.
Yeah, I did.
The county board member and former legislator who is an absolute yes or no.
That's
absolutely right. Yes. So it could be frustrating for him and other people who want that yes or no that you're not giving me a yes or no.
Yeah. And I'm sure that is frustrating for people. There is a constant and consistent pressure in my work as an executive elected person to stand staunchly in spaces that offer this kind of black and white clarity that everybody seeks on an issue. And what I have found repeatedly is that there is tremendous nuance in everything. And for people who want that very decisive clarity that I'm not giving the answer that they're going to want, I'm actually okay with that. Because when you're talking about a regional economy, mining is a significant part of Duluth's GDP and our metropolitan statistical area GDP. And we all treasure the important resource that is Lake Superior. And I do believe that our mining companies want those same things as they provide jobs. And I do believe that our environmentalists want to ensure that there is sustaining family-supporting wages within our region. So to me, there are never any of these hard and fast yes or no's unless you fully understand every word and every page of that research and that nuance.
Emily Larson, Mayor of Duluth, stopping by on a trip here to St. Paul. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Tom.